This series presents information based in part on theory and conjecture. The producer's purpose is to suggest some possible explanations, but not necessarily the only ones, to the mysteries we will examine.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Paranormal Pulse. We are recording late at night tonight, and we are. Yes, very much so. My name is Lance Phillip. I am here with my beautiful co-host, Chris Bruno.
Oh, yeah. I'm usually quite beautiful at this time of night, but it's been a long day, so I'm trying.
I've got a big cup of coffee in front of me. I got the energy level going, so I'm good. You know,
see, if I do that now, I won't get to sleep later after we're done. So
I hear you.
It won't kick in time.
Well, this is usually when I get my second wind and I'm just waking up. And then I go to bed at like 4 or 5 in the morning. And, you know, we all know how that works out for me.
Yeah. I'd love to, but I can't. Anyway, yeah, welcome to the Paranormal Pulse. I think regardless of the cobwebs in my head, we will be just stellar tonight. We're going to have a great show. We've got some really interesting stuff. We definitely want to talk about and show respects and recap our local news that has happened in the past week. Of course, the history, 9/11 just passed this past week, the fires in the Jersey Shore, the floods in Colorado. We don't want to harp on it, but we do want to touch on that information briefly. Then I do believe that EKG, most of EKG, took a little weekend getaway, went to Parafest this past weekend, well, the weekend before. And that's something definitely we want to talk about, as well as a friend of ours that has a new book out and a couple listener questions. So we've got a jam-packed full show, and I think it's going to be good. What do you think, Lance?
I am looking forward to it. So I think we should get this ball rolling and get started.
Let's go.
Are you a god?
Hello, kiddies. This is Alice Cooper.
Hi, Ruffles. This is Billy Idol.
Hey, this is Meatloaf.
Hey, this is Steven Tyler from Aerosmith.
I am Vince Clortho, Keymaster of Gozer. Vulcan Sildrawer, Lord of the Sebulia. Are you the gatekeeper?
Hey, this is Grant Wilson of Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to the Paranormal Pulse.
This is the Paranormal Pulse.
9/11 took place last week, and, you know, I want to talk about that briefly. I don't want to go too much into it because, you know, it's been, I hate to say it, in my opinion, just a little bit overdone where everybody's been talking about it, which we want to do. We want to remember it. But sometimes it gets to be a little bit much, especially when you have some of the networks who are replaying the events the way they were live. And
yeah, you know, that's ridiculous. And, you know, just a quick editorial before we even get into it is from me is the fact that people were posting pictures of the actual events, of the towers falling, of people falling from the towers. I think that all of that is unnecessary to show tribute and to prove that we remember, to remind people of what happened. I don't think you need to go that far. I think it's disrespectful to the families involved. In all locations, don't forget the Pentagon, don't forget Pennsylvania. I think it's disrespectful to the families about showing these pictures. And you just, it's unnecessary to just throw that out there. I know if it was me and I went on the internet 12 years later and saw my loved one plummeting from a tower, I'd be really angry that somebody did that. So that's just my little peace of mind when paying tribute for anything, any event like this. I think it's unnecessary to have to post the actual live footage or the actual pictures from that tragedy. We all know what happened. This is not a secret. So show some respect. That's just me.
Yeah, I agree. I just want to kind of tell people basically where I was at that moment. Because at the time, I lived in New York City. And I lived in Brooklyn. And I was able to see the towers out my back window from Brooklyn. Luckily or unluckily, depending on how you look at it, I was not in the city that day. I was in Pennsylvania visiting my parents, and I was taking my dad to the doctor that morning. And we got out of the doctor, and as we were driving, the news was reported that one of the towers had been hit, but they had the story so wrong at that point. They were talking about how it was hit by a small plane, which was doing stunt flying. which we all know isn't what happened, but that's what they were reporting. And we were listening to it, and we were driving home. By the time we got home, we literally turned on CNN, and just at that moment, they showed this, the second plane hitting. And that's when we were like, oh my God, this is much more than they were reporting on the radio. Now, again, I wasn't in the city, and with the way the chaos was in the city, you couldn't get back into the city very easily after that. So I stood out of New York probably for about 2 weeks. When I went back, I looked out my back window. Now, mind you, I'd lived in the same place from the time I was a child. It was my parents' place. After my mom passed away, my dad moved away. I still continued to live there on my own, and it was so surreal looking out the back window and not seeing the towers that I had seen from when I was a boy. You know, they were there my whole life, and all of a sudden they were gone. It was just so weird looking.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, from my back window, you can only see the tops of the towers, but when you went up onto my roof, you could look out and see the whole skyline, and it was changed. It had hit me at that moment what had happened. Because until I saw that, you know, I'd seen it on TV, and you're not as sensitive to it or you know, you're kind of desensitized when you see things on TV because you're not there. Now, all of a sudden, I was there, so to speak, and it just looked different. And I think that was, you know, that's what really put it in perspective for me. And then, you know, obviously, I had a relative who, I didn't have anybody who passed away there, but I did have a relative who is an elevator mechanic, and he would often work in the Trade Center. And luckily that day, he was assigned somewhere else.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories like that. I had a cousin, the same thing, was supposed to work that day. His company was stationed in the Twin Towers, World Trade Center, and he happened to just call out that day. He had the same thing happen back in, I believe it was 93, when they had the bombings in the basement there, and he just happened to not be there during that event. So we're very grateful for that. Right. I'm not even going to pretend that, you know, I can relate to some people that have dealt with the tragedy from this. And I love, love, love the wife, Sandy Dahl, of pilot Jason Dahl from Flight 93. She said about the event, and this is how I'm going to leave it with my point of view, is, quote, if we learn nothing else from this tragedy, we learn that life is short and there's no time for hate, unquote. I think that is a perfect way to remember that situation. And I can recap where I was, what I was doing. Actually, I had a baby the next day, you know, like things like that. But for me, it meant nothing as compared to what these people were going through. And I can't even pretend that it was such an impact as it did for them. And I think really that lesson is an excellent lesson. There's no time for hate. There's no time for being angry anymore. It's not going to help. We need to focus on the people that are in our lives now and cherish them and move forward with our lives in that respect. That's another reason why my stance on the whole beating the crap out of this in the media is unnecessary. We were all in, you know, anybody who was alive knew about it and it was affected by it. And just being angry about it 12 years later is not going to help anybody.
Right.
Learn from that. Do something better in your life. Do a random act of kindness. That's what they were teaching in the schools on that day. They commemorated the event by not homework or, hey, get this piece of newspaper clipping or any of that. They said, do something good for someone else. Do a random act of kindness.
Right.
And I think that's an excellent way to commemorate that day.
Well, you know, and I do want to add one other thing to it about that particular day was after I did, you know, after we did go home and see it, I still had to go to work that day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And at the time I was a kitchen designer at Home Depot, and I went in and driving, there was literally nobody on the highway, nobody on the roads. It was like something out of a movie. There was nobody around. I mean, I literally drove to, it would usually take me 45 minutes to drive to work. I literally got there in a half hour because there was no traffic. Got in the place, and we used to have CNN on always in our break room. And almost the entire staff of an entire Home Depot store, and this was a busy store, probably 60 people were huddled in this room just watching CNN. And it wasn't like customers weren't being helped because there were no customers. It was a day where I swear, you know, we used to have customer counts of 1,000 people a day. And like that day, it was probably under 200. Nobody,
well, sure.
Nobody was coming in. Everybody was glued to their TVs, and it was just so weird. And everybody was quiet. It was just a weird atmosphere. And I hope never have to, live through a day like that again.
Yeah. Gratefully, we're all out here. Yes, there's a lot of people who knew somebody in that situation, and gratefully, we are kind of detached from it in some respects. So yeah, of course, it affected everybody, and that day was definitely different for everyone. But we also had things that were technically business as usual, like you going to work, me going and picking up a child from daycare. People treated each other differently. We realized at that point we were all in the same boat. We right. all were in this together to figure out what's going on and how are we going to protect ourselves in our country. It wasn't about, so-and-so's car is better than mine, or that person's child is, doing this or that. Who cares? Who cares? It wasn't about that anymore. It actually brought us all together, even that day, maybe in fear in some respects, but also just together, realizing we're all in this and we all need to work together, and we were all in awe of what was going on. Yes, of course, the day was different, but I think in some ways there was a positive outcome for the weeks afterward.
Right.
And unfortunately, that lesson gets lost. That's why I said, I think that just like Sandy Dahl said, the one thing that we need to learn from this is that there's no time to hate. There's no time to be angry about all of this. It's time for us to actually, I'm paraphrasing, of course, it's time for us to be working together for a mutual cause, if you will.
Right. Now, fast forward to 2013. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this past week, tragedy struck again on the Jersey Shore. Anybody who's been watching the news has saw the giant
fun towns, no fun anymore.
Right, and the giant fire that wiped out the boardwalk yet again. I mean,
you have to give those firemen a lot of props, because what they were dealing with in the high winds was very difficult, and some of that area, especially right where that main building is, and I heard that they had said, and there's mixed reports, I think, even still, that there was an explosion in one of the buildings, like an ice cream shop or something that caused it. But there are certain areas of that complex that were just so engulfed in flames, there was no saving it without putting people at risk. So the wind was picking up and spreading the fire, so that the fire departments were really doing a great job trying their best to stay safe and keep things safe and stop the fire from spreading further. I saw video of the newsreel of them spraying all the way towards the end of the fire, trying to prevent it from going further.
One of the things that helped was that there was a firemen's convention nearby, and all the firefighters left the convention to head over there. Another, just like the last story where fate had kept some people out of the building, mm-hmm. fate again. Firefighters nearby who shouldn't have been in the area, but they're there for a convention. Shift their focus from the convention over there to fight the fire.
The convention's in Wildwood, so I think they all came up, because it actually didn't start until the weekend.
Right. Right. Well, I don't know. I was reading that they basically, a lot of people had been there prior,
Yeah, they do. They go down at the beginning of the week.
Right.
They stay down there for the whole week, and the convention itself doesn't start till Friday, Saturday. I've been to that convention a few times. So it's really a great thing that there were so many not so far away that can help. And there were a lot of neighboring departments, of course.
Of course, always.
A friend of mine's husband is, I believe it's number 3 out of Point Pleasant. They were on there. So give him a lot of credit. All those firemen deserve a lot of credit, even for the damage that was done. They prevented further damage, and they were able to keep themselves relatively safe, which is probably the most important, is to keep themselves safe and to keep the neighboring businesses safe. I believe 32 businesses were affected by that fire. So
some of the businesses only opened up in July from the mm-hmm. damage in Sandy. That boardwalk, unfortunately, had just finished being rebuilt.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and they had to
take... Yeah, there were some reports saying that it was not affected.
Yeah, no. In fact, I was reading a story earlier about a business that only opened up on July 21st from the damage in Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, It's it makes
well,
you wonder.
They'll rebuild again.
Absolutely.
See, this is another thing that we have to do. Is yes, there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of negative out there, but we also have to learn to focus on the positive. Right. In the media, that's a very difficult thing to do. The media loves to just browbeat all the bad things that are going on, but we need to focus on the positive as well, and that's a hard thing to do.
Yep, and all I want is everybody out there just to send your thoughts, that way to the people in that area, and again to the people, who lost people in 9/11. Send your thoughts there. And lastly, out to the people in Colorado who experienced great floods. They had horrific rains out there, and towns were underwater. And, again, another area devastated, with a tragedy. So, everybody out there, send your thoughts that way. Some positive energy always helps.
Oh, sure. And I'm sure if you simply just Google what's going on or what has happened in the past few weeks online, there will be fundraisers. There will be ways for you to help all on your own. You don't necessarily have to be out there to be able to help. You want to help? Do it. Go online and Google it. You can find all kinds of different people just putting together fundraisers, big and small, that you can take part of. So I think that's important that people, yes, send your positive energy. And if you can afford to, send a few dollars or send some supplies to these firefighters, to the rescue teams, to the families. There's always a way to help, and you can do that all online.
With that being said, I think the serious portion of the show is over, and time to move on to the fun part.
Yay.
So we'll take a little break, and then we'll come back, and we will discuss the fun that we had down at Parafest.
Parafest, cool.
Just relax. We are now checking your paranormal pulse.
Welcome back to the Paranormal Pulse. I'm Chris Bruno. We've got Lance Phillip with us, and he, of course, is our co-host. Lance and the rest of EKG went down this past, actually 2 weekends ago now, to Parafest 2013. It was at the Event Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, the Sands, actually, on the 6th, 7th, and 8th this year. You can find more information about Parafest 2013 at parafest2013.com. Lots and lots of great people there. What I'm really going to do is just talk about the pictures you posted, Lance, and you can just tell us all about them. And we'll repost them on the Paranormal Pulse Facebook page if you'd like to find us there on Facebook. It's the Paranormal Pulse Podcast at Facebook. Or various other locations, you can go to Podbean, and I'm sure that we'll have some information up there as well. So anyway, first thing I see, very cool, coolest car ever, as you dubbed it, the Batmobile. This is the old Batmobile. This is the Batmobile from like the 70s series, the real deal. And how cool this thing is. Were any Batman-type characters in attendance as well?
No, unfortunately, there was no one from Batman. The car was outside, out front, and it was right outside the ticket booth, and I couldn't help but take a picture of it.
Why wouldn't you? That thing's cool.
I wanted to take a picture inside the vehicle, but they were charging a little bit more money than I wanted to spend on it.
That's what Zoom is for.
Although I have to tell you, after the fact, I regret not taking a picture in the car. I should have just paid it. And you know why? Because I'm like, that would have been the coolest thing ever. How many of my friends have a picture in the Batmobile? Nobody. I would have had it. It would have been great. So next event I see it at, and it appears at a lot of events, so I'm going to jump into that one.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll be at
Chiller Theater.
Chiller Theater, yeah. They do that. I bet you they'll have it there.
I'm sure. If not, I know there's another big convention where they're going to be having a lot of the stars from the Batman movies. So
nice.
That's going to be at the Monster Mania convention in Maryland. So,
well, right off, one of our faves, Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters. You, of course, ran into Grant, and I'm sure you were doing a lot of catching up there. So Grant was there at Parafest 2013. Did you chit chat with Grant a bit?
Absolutely. I had tweeted him during the week, let him know I was going to be there and whatnot. And when we got there, I went up and we've never met in person. We've talked on the phone. We've talked online and whatnot. I went up and introduced myself, and he was like, hey. And, he was really cool because he remembered who I was, which was really
right.
Cool,
Always nice to be remembered.
Right. And was great because, every one of these celebrities at their booth, they charge various fees for their autograph and for their photos.
Yeah.
So For people who don't know, I have a wall of celebrities' autographs that are in my wall of fame. I just don't go out collecting autographs. Only specific people that I really like. Right. And he's one of the ones I didn't have. So I was like, I want to get. We were talking back and forth. I mean, we were sitting there chit-chatting for a while.
Did he update you about the game, his game launch that we were
We spoke about that, and he actually thanked us for having him on to talk about that, which was really cool. You know, we actually spoke about a lot of stuff. The one good thing is we got there very early in the morning. In fact, we got there before a lot of the celebrities did. And he was there. At the time when he was there, to his left was Brian Kano, and to Brian's left was Jason Gates from Haunted Collector.
Nice.
The next table over to the right was Bruce Tango, but Dave Tango and Steve Gonzalez weren't there yet. And there wasn't a lot of people there yet, so I got to spend a lot of time with Grant talking back and forth, which was really cool. But I thought the coolest thing in the world was when I went to get his autograph, I went to pull out my money, and he goes, I'm not charging you. Don't worry about it, you know, which I thought was really cool, you know, because he could have easily just said, yeah, you know, whatever.
But, professional courtesy.
Yeah, he was great. He was great. I mean, he took pictures with us.
Yeah, and I see your pictures with Bruce Tango, Dave Tango, Steve
Gonzalez. Yeah,
thank you.
And like I said, I was actually surprised. I will say, Grant is taller than I thought he would be. For some reason, I guess because Jason's taller than Grant, I just think of Grant as being shorter, but he's not. He's actually my height. You know, so he's got to be about 5'11", 6 foot around there. So,
cool.
which was surprising, but just a hell of a nice guy. He really is. Of course, I did give him some good ribbing because I actually went to speak to Brian Kano first. Because Brian, when I first got there, I wanted to talk to him because, again, he's another person I've talked to in person and on the phone
right.
and before. And it was funny because I was ribbing, telling Brian, I was like, you need to tease that guy next to you. I was like, because you have more listens on our show than he does. So.
That's funny. Well, I'm sure that they have competed with each other before. So.
Well, it's funny because.
Great pictures with Grant and the whole EKG team.
Yeah, I got to kind of explain the way the room was set up first. That way everybody kind of gets a picture. It's in the event center. And in the event center, it's also the concert center. There's a big stage. They had all the celebrities up on the stage with these two wings. That one wing went down the right, one went down the left. And then there's a sunken area where the seats would normally be for shows and whatnot. And that's where all the vendors were in there. The seats were removed, and that's where all the vendors were. So
gotcha.
With that being said, the celebrities had a curtain behind them, okay? And they could look out, like, you know, but a couple areas had a low spot. So when I told Brian Kano that he was ahead in listens, he turned around, looked out over the crowd, and started pointing his thumbs at himself like, I'm the man, you know? It was hilarious when he did it, though.
Well, he's a personality all on his own. He's a nice guy, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're all nice guys, but it's so nice that we were able to have them take part of the Paranormal Pulse and just, you know, they're just so down to earth and very cool.
Oh, absolutely.
So we had Bruce Tango, Dave Tango, and Steve. Did you have any chit-chatting with them, just a picture with them?
Well, we got to speak to Bruce. Bruce remembered us because, again, when we were at Phenomenology, we were staying in the same hotel as Bruce and ran across him there even
right.
before the event. Then at the event, we got to hang out with him. And he remembered us, and you know, it was great because we were talking to him. And as we were talking to him, that's when Dave and Steve showed up, right? And Bruce looks up at his son and he goes, be nice to these folks. They're really good people. He goes, and they're friends of mine. So
nice.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. And we got to talk to them. I will say, I don't know if it was because they had just got there and they had rushed in and they were still setting up. We didn't get to spend a lot of time with them. We probably could have went back, but by the time they had set up, lines were building up for them.
Right.
And we were still looking at other stuff throughout the show. But yeah, I mean, they were nice. I mean, no doubt about it. Just that we just didn't get to spend a lot of time. We did talk about football really quick because it turns out Dave Tango is a Jets fan.
And so are you.
Yeah, I will say, I'm not going to lie. I did try to convince them to come onto the show.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently those two, well, Dave said he doesn't really do radio. You know, he was very nice about it.
Well, we're not really radio.
Well, you know. Radio, podcast, that sort of thing. And Unfortunately, Steve said he only does stuff that's set up by the network.
Well, so. You have to respect that, too. They do have contracts with certain networks.
Exactly.
The reason why they are in existence.
No, absolutely. And, I was still trying, you know. And I will say, I can't say right now, I do have some definite confirmation from some people who were there. I've got about 5 different confirmations for interviews, and the timing is going to be some sooner than later, but I have five definite commitments at least.
So our listeners will have to stay tuned and find out what those people, who those people are. I see that you also had some very interesting characters, and literally characters, at Parafest this year. You had met Richard Kiel from
James Bond films.
Also, love him. A.K.A. Jaws. He's still a kind of scary looking dude.
He is huge. Unfortunately, he doesn't walk very well anymore. You know, he's 7 foot.
Well, he's a giant.
Well, he's 7 foot tall. What a nice person. Just really, really nice guy. We were talking to him, and it's very funny because he was in one of my favorite James Bond movies. So I could really, like, I could have sat and spoke to him all day. And you know what? He would have loved it. I mean, he was great. He was like, yeah, he goes, you know, tell me which picture you want. And he had a whole assortment of different photos from different roles he played, including when he was in, I think it was, Happy Gilmore? Yeah, he was in Happy Gilmore. Yeah, Happy Gilmore, absolutely. And some of the other roles he had. But if in the picture that we have online, he's grabbing my head and squeezing my head.
His hands are huge.
Yeah. Well, the thing that was, because one of the photos he had was from one of the James Bond movies where he's picking up Roger Moore by the head like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool. He goes, yeah, because that was the picture I wanted autographed because I just thought it was really cool looking. And he goes, hey, we could reproduce that picture. He goes, when I grab your head, look like you're screaming. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. For those of you who are James Bond impaired, that would be The Spy Who Loved Me from 1977. He played Jaws, and what a cool film. I'm a Bond fan, so it's a good movie, and if you want to check it out, obviously you can find it online. They have little snippets on YouTube for that. So
and also, yeah, he was also in Moonraker. Those were the two that he was primarily in. The funny thing was, to his left was Frank Sylla. And for people who don't know who Frank Sylla is, Frank Sylla is a little person. Mm-hmm. Who played Cousin It in the Addams Family.
Yeah.
So now you have this guy who is basically 3 feet tall next to someone who's 7 foot tall, which is really funny. They put him right next to each other.
That'd be a cool picture.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that Frank Sylla played one of my other favorite characters. He played Tweaky in Buck Rogers.
Yes, I remember Tweaky.
And also he was an Ewok in Return of the Jedi. He's been in countless other things too, but those are the three things he's really known for.
That's excellent.
It was just weird because every time I went over by his booth, he was not in his booth. He was somewhere else. So I couldn't get a picture with him. I would have loved to.
He's a busy man. I see you met Ernie Hudson as well from Ghostbusters fame. How fun is that?
Well, you know, how could you not love Ernie Hudson? You know, especially, you know, when he's sitting there. Well, first of all, we get there. I should say some of the big on the stage, I should have set this up where the celebrities were. It was all the paranormal celebrities. The non-paranormal celebrities had their own rooms. Not individual rooms, but they had them set up in other rooms in the convention center. And when we got there, he wasn't there yet. There was Danny Glover sitting to the right.
Excellent.
And unfortunately, I felt bad for Danny Glover because Danny Glover had nobody coming to speak to him.
Well, he's a celebrity for sure. I mean,
he's a huge celebrity. He was in the Lethal Weapon movie.
Huge celebrity, but not a huge paranormal celebrity. And that's what this was all about. So maybe that's why he was overlooked a little bit.
But he's been in horror movies. He was in Predator 2. So it's not like he fit in with other people. I mean, in that same room, you had Tony Todd, who is, Night of the Living Dead. The newer one, and also the Candyman, which is what he's most known for. You had Todd Berryman.
Yeah, he was excellent in that role.
Yeah, I mean, you had Berryman, who was in, The Hills Have Eyes. And then you had you had some of the cast of The Walking Dead there. You had some of the cast from True Blood. And
that's kind of a warm-up for Chiller Theater, don't you think?
In a way, but it was funny, though, because I just felt really bad for him, because there was nobody there. And all of a sudden, like, Ernie Hudson's table's there, and Ernie Hudson comes strolling in. He's got sunglasses on, black T-shirt and jeans, right? He waves to everybody, and all of a sudden he reaches into this rolling bag, and out comes the jumpsuit. And this is all I can think of. I'm like, uh-oh, he's going to put on the damn jumpsuit. I was like, wait, jumpsuit's coming on. And
this is going on in my head.
He slips into the Ghostbusters jumpsuit. How could you not love that?
Of course.
You know, but with that being said, all I can think of is the Ghostbusters theme in my head. Again, hell of a nice guy. Really nice. But I felt really bad because he's one space over from Danny Glover. Now there's this huge line, and the line's curling around in front of Danny Glover, and no one's talking to Danny Glover.
Well, as
Jen felt really bad, so she went over and was talking to him, you know.
He knows what he's in for when he signs on for these things.
Oh, absolutely.
Come on, this is not something that he's doing for free.
Yeah, no, and I also think, too, his pricing was a little bit higher than most other people's as far as autographs and pictures and whatnot.
He's a big celebrity, but he's not a big paranormal celebrity, and so he will realize that, unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
But there were so many other people there.
But it was great. I mean, There were people dressed as Ghostbusters who were taking pictures with Ernie Hudson. There was a whole group of them walking around there. But he was just so great. And like I said, the fact that he knows that Ghost, you know, he's been in a lot of things. And he has, you know, all these celebrities have multiple pictures there that you can choose from. He probably had about 30 different photos you can choose to have autographed. And, you know, when I picked out mine, he signed it. And what was really nice about that was he put this long like dedication to me on there, which was really nice because he had asked because he had saw the logo and he's like, so you're a real ghost hunter? I was like, yes, we are, you know. So he's like, when I get next to him, he goes, what pose do you want to do? I was like, let's do the thumbs up, you know. So it was kind of cool. He was just really really nice guy though, you know.
Yeah.
Good guys. I will say there were some
of them.
There were some people there who I wasn't fond of, and I won't bring up who they were, but there were some people who I wasn't. So it's not, I don't want people to think that everybody there was nice. Some people were not.
Yeah.
So,
well, that happens everywhere you go. I love this picture of Jay Wasley from Ghost Adventures. He's wearing a T-shirt.
Camp Crystal
Lake. It's a Camp Crystal Lake T-shirt, which is wonderful because, you know, this past Friday was Friday the 13th, and locally in Blairstown, New Jersey, they do a whole thing because that's where most of Friday the 13th, the original, was filmed.
Right.
So they do a cool little film dedications and festival type thing. So anyway, back to this. You ended up with Jay.
Well, yeah, and these pictures are not necessarily in order of how the day took place.
Right,
we're trying to keep
some sort of semblance
of
order.
But I'm not worried about that so much. We're just trying to set it up because I saw what happened was we walked around and we didn't see him. And I happened to be talking to Jen. I was like, I didn't see Jay Wasley. As we turned the corner, he's literally walking into us. And I was like, hey, we were just talking about you. And he was
nice.
He goes, where are you? We're like, yeah, we actually got to spend probably 35 minutes with him because he hadn't even set up yet.
Yeah, he looks like he just woke up.
His wife was setting up the booth, and his wife, Ashley, is a sweetheart. She's really nice. And if anybody's ever watched Aaron's blogs on YouTube, you can sometimes see her sitting in the back of the SUV as they're driving. She travels with them, but she's not on the show. And for people who aren't familiar with Jay has only been on the air for the last two seasons, but he's been with them since season 4. And I really got to talk to him and ask him a lot of questions. We spent a lot of time with him, and turning out that it's a small world, he's actually a neighbor of my parents.
Yeah.
And that's...
It is a small world.
Yes, and it was really funny. But I asked him, I said, so how did you wind up on the show? And it basically turned out that they used to hire a sound guy in every location they went to.
Sure.
But it was becoming a problem because they were going to sometimes some remote locations that just didn't have sound people that were qualified. So Travel Channel had upped their budget, and they basically reached out to him. They brought him on board. He really hit it off well with them, so they hired him to be permanent on the show. Well, then I think it was the Bordello episode last year is when he made his first on-screen appearance. And he was, you know, he had explained a lot. We were talking about the way they travel, how much gear they use, you know, the amount of, as he said it, the amount of extra baggage fees they pay for all the gear that they have to ship.
Oh, sure. I can just imagine.
Yeah. I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, it was really cool. He took more time with us probably than any other celebrity, you know, a Paris celebrity. And just a hell of a, again, I know I've used this term, but a hell of a nice guy. And his wife is really nice. And it turns out his wife does all the still photography for the show that you see. Also,
that's cool.
Also, too, what happens is she helps set up with them and then she leaves. They don't let her stay while they're investigating. But what he was telling me is often after the investigation's over, they'll send her in to start taking down equipment in pitch dark. So she's really kind of a brave chick to do all that. And
kind of the nature of being involved with a ghost hunter.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and, you know, we were talking. He started his own production company. He has some other projects besides them. And, he's a musician just like some of the others on the show. So that's right. Why they all get along really well. You know, he was telling us some things about Zach and some things about Nick and some things about Aaron that were really fascinating.
Sure.
And right next to his booth was Aaron Goodwin's sister, and she had a lot of his merchandise. And it turns out in talking to her that she designs a lot of the merchandise you see on Aaron Goodwin collections, which is really cool. Interesting. We were talking to, you know, but when me and Jay were talking, you know, we were talking about how some other people, you know, how some of the people who hate Ghost Adventures will say this and say that.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't mention the show, but we were both commenting on a particular show that there was something that was obviously CGI'd into this show. And me and him were sitting there, and he was like, he goes, you know, people will knock us. He goes, but there was an obvious CGI,
yeah,
you know? And, yeah, I mean,
unfortunately, that's the nature of a lot of the shows. And it has a lot to do with production rather than with the stars of the shows or the creators of the you know, the people in the team. Just to recap for our listeners, because there's so much that we're talking about here of this particular event. This was from ParaFest 2013, this past, a couple weekends ago at this point, at the Sands Bethlehem Event Center in Bethlehem, PA. It happens every year. Not always. Is it always in the same location?
This was actually the first event.
Oh, okay. So this is brand new. It's going to be happening every year.
we hope, because
yeah, I think it probably will. They're usually pretty successful.
Yeah,
but you met so many people. Just a huge amount of people. I don't know if we can hit every single one of them. Maybe we should just ask you to pick some of your favorites.
We can go right down the line. There's a few people.
Time's sake.
We won't. The next person you see in there is Eric Altman. And for people here on the East Coast, he is the head of the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society. He's an awesome guy, really nice guy, friends with him, and he also does a lot of stuff on cryptids beside Bigfoot. So if you get a chance to go to any of the events he's at and listen to his lectures, he's great to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Jason Gates from Haunted Collector, another dashingly handsome guy, I gotta tell you. You know, it's something about people with the last name Gates, except for Bill Gates. But, you know,
yeah, he's the only one.
But he can buy.
He doesn't have to be handsome.
No, he could buy everybody's love. But
exactly.
But Jason's a really nice guy. And what was really great was I got to talk to him about the Italian villa over in Warwick, New York, which is a site that they investigated that's very local to us. We're only about 15, 20 minutes away from there. And he was telling me, you know, getting back to the editing process,
yeah,
he was saying there was a lot of stuff that happened on that investigation that was never, as far as evidence, that was never shown because the producers felt it didn't fit into the storyline they were trying to portray.
Right. And that happens a lot.
Right. And he said it was amazing because he just feels that someday he'd like to see that get out on a DVD extra because there was actually better evidence that wasn't shown.
Mm-hmm.
Then that was shown. And he said, unfortunately, you know, you go and you record it, but it's out of your control at that point, you know?
Right. As soon as they collect the evidence, they turn it over to their producers. Their producers do what they will. That's unfortunately the nature of being on a show.
Right. I mean,
so they just do what they do the best they can.
Right. And certain shows don't have that. You know, Ghost Hunters do not have that. They control their own process. And Ghost Adventures is the same way. Both those shows actually control their own destinies with that. But those are the only two that I know of. And Paranormal State, which, you know, obviously is off the air, but Ryan Buell announced this week it will be coming back. So
that's cool.
That's a big, yeah, that was a very big announcement cool. that came across.
Next, well, I see you ran into Christopher Mancuso as well.
Absolutely. Chris from Scared, who's also Brian Kano's partner in Scared.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Brian generally at these events represents Haunted Collector, while Chris separates and represents Scared. Chris is an awesome guy from Staten Island. Just one of the sweetest guys in the paranormal that you'll ever meet, you know. Another one who takes the time out. And, you know, I've met him before. Just a really, really good guy. Friends with him online and whatnot as well. Now, the person to the right is Daniel Hooven, who was on Paranormal Challenge, and then he was on Face-to-Face Paranormal Encounters.
Haunted Encounters, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a hell of a nice guy. Like, I didn't know what to make of him at first because, I really never had any interaction with him before. And
right.
Let me tell you, I ran into him. He was actually at the Scared booth when I went over to talk to Chris, and then I kind of grabbed him away, and he wound up spending a good half hour with us. And I got to tell you, he told us a lot of stuff about his show. That show is coming back, but he's not going to be on it. He did not like the direction it was going.
Interesting.
And he had a lot of integrity behind it, and he basically pulled out of it. And unfortunately, it looks like almost all the other members of that cast have pulled out for the same reasons. They're replacing pretty much all but one person.
Well, that should send a signal to the producers of that and the television, network is dealing with it.
Yeah, but I give him a lot of credit for that because it would have been easy to stay there and collect a paycheck. But no, he had a lot of integrity, and I respected that a lot.
Yeah,
and
me
just,
too.
Just a hell of a nice guy. I mean, I know I keep using that word, but there's no other way to describe it. He spent a lot of time with us, you know.
That's great. They're normal, just everyday people, just like us, who happen to.
I wish they all realized
get involved in some exposure.
Well, some of them don't feel that way. Trust me, there were some people who.
Oh, I'm right. Sure. And in any industry that's in the public eye is like that. There's always somebody who thinks they're better than everybody else, but that's not unusual. But luckily, in the paranormal field, you do run into a lot of really good people. Now, I see you have Patrick Burns and Marley Gibson as well.
Absolutely. People who I've been friends with and spoken to on Facebook for a few years now, but I've never got to meet in person. Even though they were, you know, it's really funny about that. I somehow missed them at Phenomenology.
Right. I think we talked about that too, that they were disappointed they didn't see you.
Well, yeah. I mean, Patrick Burns, I was sitting, when I first got to Phenomenology, he was sitting talking to Brian Kano, and I was talking to Chris Mancuso and didn't want to interrupt their conversation, but I overheard a lot, which is really funny. At the time, they were talking about their travel schedules. But I finally got to meet them, and they were really nice. And they let me in on some of the information about what's going on the whole convention circuit right now. And there's going to be some changes coming up next year, unfortunately, that seem to be disappointing. That I won't mention names, but some of the organizers of certain conventions are now saying, well, if you work this convention, you're no longer going to be allowed to work our convention, and, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there's some infighting and drama going on there amongst the conventions, and that's kind of sad.
Stay out of the drama.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
We're on the outside of it, which is a good thing, so we can just kind of pick and choose where we want to go, and you can go and follow your favorites. That's all there is to it.
And then the next...
Again, that's another way to send a signal to whomever is organizing.
Right. Then the next person you see is me with David Roundtree, and David Roundtree is the head of Spirit Labs, one of the smartest scientific minds in the field. His book, Paranormal Technology 101, is a fantastic book. I've recommended it 1,000 times on this show and on Facebook and everywhere else I talk.
Right, right.
The guy's just brilliant. And he's vocal to us. He's over in Hackettstown, and he's a good guy. I've talked to him many, many times before, but never in person. This was the first time. So that was kind of cool. And then the last picture you see is because, obviously, it was at the Sands Casino.
It's at the Sands Casino, yeah.
And about a month ago, there was a post on my Facebook saying, I will find the KISS slot machines.
And I did.
And the funny thing is, they were all the way across the casino, and I'm like, there they are. And Rick goes, what are you talking about? I'm like, they're there, the KISS slot machines. He goes, where do you see those? I'm like, they're all the way on the other side. He goes, how do you see that?
I'm like, zoom in on the pictures.
I'm like, I can see that KISS logo from a million miles away. I was like, I had to play.
You were a true fan, and you're in a casino, so of course you have to kill some time with a little gambling.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, just real quick, we'll wrap up the Parafest. There were many other celebrities there, some that we did get to see, some that I didn't post pictures of yet, some that we did not get to see. Some of the celebrities snuck out early, which kind of pissed me off because they were supposed to be there for the
whole
thing.
Especially because you were there so early.
Well, yeah, and some of them canceled last minute and never showed up, and that bothered me. And then there were some celebrities that somehow I missed and I forgot that I wanted to see. They had the folks from the show Oddities. If anybody watches that show,
oh, I love that show. Yeah, they're from Brooklyn.
Yeah, they were in New York. Yeah, and I totally missed them, and I wanted to go hang out with them. There were some other people that I couldn't find, or either they had left, and unfortunately, that was kind of sad because there were a couple of people I did want to talk to, and just didn't get the pleasure of meeting them or talk to them. But somebody had asked me, like, what was my recollection, best recollection? I said, you know, the big thing was that I got to see some old friends and I got to meet some new friends, you know?
Yeah. And you got to connect with people that you've spoken to for a while and actually got a face to put with the voice or the text, if you will, which is really nice to do.
Absolutely.
So that's great. We've got a little information about a book release coming up after the break. And we'll also answer... Well, kind of not really answer a question necessarily, but touch on a subject that has been coming up a lot lately amongst my circles, questions that have been posed to me about the same subject. So we'll talk about all of that when we come back. It's the Paranormal Pulse Podcast. I'm Chris Bruno. It's Lance Phillip. We'll be right back.
Take a deep breath and relax as we check your Paranormal Pulse.
Welcome back to the Paranormal Pulse, everybody. What I want to tell everybody about is a friend of ours, John Ruggiero, who runs NJ Paranormal, who's a good guy. We love the guys. We love their team. He has a new book out. It's called Faith or Fate by John Ruggiero, and you can find it on Amazon.com. But the reason why I'm talking about it is John's going to be making an appearance signing his book. He is going to be at the Paranormal Books and Curiosities, which is one of our favorite places. He will be there October 12th, signing the book from 2 to 4 p.m. And again, the book is Faith or Fate by John Ruggiero. And you can go see him, have the book autographed. Books will be for sale that day. If you can't make it out there because you're not local, you can download the book in Kindle format for $3.99, or you can order the book in paperback for $11.57. I'm going to be honest, I've read the book, and initially, I'm not going to lie, I read it because John's a friend, and after reading the first couple of chapters, I was hooked. It's a great read. It's a really, really good book, really in-depth, thought-provoking book, and I recommend it highly. So again, if we can go out there and just support John and his book, and also, too, if you want to support NJ Paranormal, you can find them on Facebook. Their team's running a lot of events for the next for the upcoming Halloween season. They're doing some public ghost hunting events and some walking tours and that sort of thing. Very inexpensive, a good night out with the family. So give them check them out on Facebook. We really appreciate it.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Always nice to support our local guys. So briefly, I just want to talk about something very quickly. I had a few friends ask me questions. They had somebody who had a situation where... And actually, this had come up twice in less than 2 weeks, so I thought that it would be an interesting subject to talk about. And then, Lance, if you'd like to weigh in after I go over it, by all means. I had a friend who asked me about, they had another friend, of course, some strange experiences when they've woken up in the middle of the night and they can't move. They're conscious. They hear, they see, they feel, they smell. But they can't move. They're paralyzed and very often feel as though somebody's holding them down or sitting on their chest or even sitting next to them in the room, or they'll notice some sort of paranormal activity going on around them in the room, but they cannot get up and react to it. They can only witness it. And this is an interesting thing that a lot of people do chalk up to a paranormal experience. However, there is a condition called old hag syndrome or sleep paralysis. And very often we believe that it is paranormal, but it's actually a medical condition. And it does happen, and it happens to a lot of people. And it happens, generally speaking, there are a lot of things that can cause, not paranormal, but sleep sleep paralysis in general. Sometimes it's anxiety. Sometimes it's medications that you're taking. You know, there's a lot of different things that can cause the symptoms of a paranormal paralysis, if you will. I thought that was a really interesting question because it happens a lot, and a lot of people chalk it up to paranormal, and it isn't necessarily that case. What about your experiences, Lance? Have you had people ask you about this subject?
I have, and you know, the skeptics of the world out there will mention, they will talk about sleep paralysis and talking about how it's a very common occurring thing that happens to people. But I do believe that there are cases where it's not, where people are that there may be paranormal events that are taking place. It's very hard to say, though, because in almost all events, whether it's paranormal or not, people recall the same symptoms, that their eyes were open, they could see around them, but they couldn't move.
Right.
And you know, there's the temporary sleep paralysis where what happens is you awaken before your eyes and brain awake before your muscles can react.
Exactly.
And so you are able to see. So it's very difficult to make the call whether it's paranormal or not. But I do believe that there are some people who may have had paranormal events. Especially there are people who have been reported to have basically been sexually abused in their sleep, and to wake up in the middle of it, and they have actually had symptoms of being sexually abused, that you can't really mm-hmm. explain off as you know, sleep paralysis.
But I have a hard time believing that it is necessarily paranormal. There's a lot of science behind this that will prove that, and they have proven in sleep studies and such that. There's some people and some actual medical conditions that are linked to sleep paralysis, including narcolepsy, migraines, anxiety disorders, and sleep apnea. And a lot of the time, yes, there's a piece of your brain. If you dreamt all the time and your brain did not disconnect your body from your brain, you would be sleepwalking just like sleepwalkers do. You'd be sleepwalking, sleep cooking, sleep driving, sleep acting out everything that is in your dreams. But there is a disconnect built in your brain. This is how it works. And sometimes that disconnect, when you do become conscious again, that little switch gets stuck in the off position. And so your body won't move, but you can observe and feel and see and smell. And there's a lot of science behind this. I'm not discounting any paranormal activity. Obviously, we're in this business, you know, or not even business, in this field because we believe in it. I do believe in it. However, I believe very strongly that most cases are a result of some sort of sleep paralysis. And people need to debunk their symptoms.
Oh, absolutely.
I
agree with that as
before
well.
Before they just chalk it up to, oh, there was a ghost holding me down.
No, I absolutely agree.
Because that's not normally the case.
I agree with that too, but I also think that there is a possibility that there could be something. But, you know, an interesting
There's
thing,
always the possibility, but
oh,
this,
absolutely.
This is part of the field, is trying to prove that. Prove it. Prove that it's paranormal instead of connected to a number of these disorders.
No, absolutely. But I will say one thing that's very strange is that there is a high case of sleep paralysis that takes place in twins,
mm-hmm.
Which is something very weird. And they don't know, you know, they think it's something obviously genetic, to do with genetics, but they don't know what. And that's, you know, again, it goes back to what we've talked about before. With them knowing
there's so many
there's
so many variables attached to this that you can't. You know, twins, of course, have the same DNA, the same kind of body reactions. If one's got it, of course, another one, the twin is going to have that same medical problem.
But it's not. But you got to remember, we're not talking about the fact that both of them have it. We're talking about it's a higher rate in twins than it is in non-twins.
Twins get it more than normal people?
Yes.
That still can be part of their genetic makeup that causes that problem. There's so many variables attached to sleep paralysis.
Right, and obviously it does have to be something with their genetics, but what it is, they don't know.
And narcolepsy is another one that would cause it.
Right.
Certain antidepressants can cause it. I mean, there's way too many scientific causes to just chuck it up to paranormal immediately.
I'm saying,
and that's a lot of people do, and I don't believe that that's the case.
No, I agree with that. I mean, like I said, and that goes with anything we do in this field, you know, 99% of it's never paranormal to begin with, so.
Mm-hmm. But this has come up a lot recently, mm-hmm. and one of the first questions that I would ask the person or ask about the person is, you know, have they been experiencing any number of these issues, migraines, anxiety, so anti-anxiety medications will do it, antidepressants will do it, obstructive sleep apnea, which is very common and undiagnosed amongst a lot of people, will do this. And anxiety in general is an amazing and horrible thing. Mm-hmm. So anxiety and stress will cause so many physical problems. And people don't believe that because they think, oh, well, I can handle that. It's just an emotion. It's not an emotion. It affects your physical being as well. So, you know, this is something that you should maybe talk to a doctor about. Don't be afraid
right.
and think that they're going to think you're crazy because it is a medical condition. It's old hag syndrome or sleep paralysis. Talk to your doctor.
Yeah, and the thing is,
don't just go, oh, my God, I'm being haunted every night. Well,
yeah,
maybe you've got something wrong with you.
And you know what's great? If you look around the world, different countries have different beliefs on it as well, you know.
Sure.
As well as, you know, there's a lot of different folklore, you know, around...
Demon visitation is one of the things that they believe. There's old art.
Incubus and succubuses, you know. Or
yeah.
Actually,
absolutely. Incubi there's a lot of it behind it.
Incubi and succubi really would be the actual plural, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I mean, there's so many different, and I think that's part of the problem. There's so much folklore out there as to what, you know, and people read too much into that. You know, and again, different cultures have different thoughts about it, you know, different, they call it different things. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of information online about it that you can look up and, you know.
Right. But you want to look up the actual factual, not the paranormal opinions, because you're going to get a lot of skewed information, but you should look up the actual medical condition and see if that, you know, just to start off, see if those symptoms or those causes are, you know, something that would make ring true to you and what's going on with you, and then move from there. Don't go to just all these paranormal pages that are like, oh, my opinion is this or my opinion is that.
Right.
Granted, we're just giving you our opinion as well, but I believe that there is true science behind this, and that if you are experiencing it over and over again, multiple nights in a row, don't chalk it up to a ghost or a demon. Go see a doctor and have a conversation, because it is a medical condition.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that being said, I believe that we're going to give everybody methods of madness. How do you get to the Paranormal Pulse? How do you see our stuff? How do you listen whenever you want? Well, that's pretty easy. You can start off by going to Facebook. Who doesn't have a Facebook page at this point? Come on. If you don't, get one. And then go like the Paranormal Pulse podcast on Facebook. You can go to EKG, our team page as well, and see what we're doing. That's East Coast Ghost. It's East Coast with a K, Ghost. We're also on Facebook there. And then you want to listen to the podcast? Well, there are so many ways to listen to this podcast anywhere you are, anywhere you go. You can take us with you. You can listen online. You can listen on your cell phone. You can listen through your TV. We've got iTunes, Roku, Stitcher, Facebook, of course. You can play the podcast right from there. Blueberry. And our personal favorite is Podbean. That's where our homepage is. That's where you're going to see all of the art, all of the links to all the cool places we've been and investigated, and you know, just our resources in general. And of course, if you'd like to call us, you ready, Lance?
Absolutely.
If you want to call us and ask us a question, and we love, love, love hearing from you listeners, call us online, or it's actually a Google number, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the easiest way.
Well, yeah. Call our phone number. Leave us a message. Leave us your question. Go ahead, Lance. Tell them the number.
Number is area code 805-633-0935. And again, that's 805-633-0935. And when you call up, just give us your name, where you're from, and ask us your question. We'll be happy to answer it on the air.
I love that you do that, like, fundraiser voice, radio voice.
Well, yeah, you know.
For the phone number.
being one of those people who, you know, has been an audiophile, I guess, would be it, right? Constantly listening to radio, because I actually enjoy radio much more than I do TV, you
mm-hmm.
know. You know, Real quick,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that style is still out there.
I know. It's really bad.
But that's what we remember from the 60s, from the 50s, from the 40s. It's so much fun. So, again, the Paranormal Pulse podcast on Facebook. All our resources are there.
And real quick, the Android app will be announced very shortly. It's, for some reason, it's taking longer for them to approve it than I thought it should have. But, okay, we're waiting on that.
You know
that.
What, though? They have all kinds of ways to get it.
Well, yeah, and absolutely. And there's gonna be some other feeds that are going to be announced shortly. So keep on the lookout for that.
If you have an iPhone, you can do it very easily.
I do want to ask our listeners a question, though. And what that is we want to know if everybody out there would be interested in hearing us do a show live.
Or drunk.
Well, yeah.
Or a combination of the two.
Don't let that one out yet.
Why? I'm all for it. What do you think, listeners?
the drunk show was supposed to be a surprise.
I don't think that we would be able to do that live.
I don't know. I was thinking of make it a fun drinking game. Like if we happen to say the word ghost, everybody drinks and that sort of
everybody
thing.
Everybody drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll figure all that out. Yeah, how about you guys? You guys let us know. What do you want to hear? What questions do you have for us? What kind of show would you like to hear? There's definitely topics that we haven't touched on, or we can recap again or go into more detail about specific topics.
Right. Or if you guys
it's your show. It's your pulse. It's your Paranormal Pulse.
Have any
we
ideas,
want to serve you.
Yeah, and if you have any ideas for segments that maybe we haven't thought of, they maybe, you know, have an idea. Say, hey, try this, try that. If you have a game you want us to try or something like that. Let us know. We're willing.
We'd love to talk about stuff that we're interested in, but obviously that's what this all spawned from. But, you know, we want to talk about what you want to hear, too. So, again, I'm a big fan of listener questions, and we could certainly use more of them. Post them online at the Paranormal Pulse podcast on Facebook. Shoot us a message through our page and leave a message on the phone line. Again, that number is Lance. Come on.
805-633-0935. Again, area code 805-633-0935.
It's like one of those commercials where they had the low budget, like, here's the pasta vase, like, learn mm-hmm. to cook your pasta in 5 minutes with the pasta vase. Like, just
all
call.
All I can think of is, you know, The Price is Right. Come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
See, now he was awesome. I love him.
See, I could do that voice, though.
All right. Well, that's our episode 19 of the Paranormal Pulse podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chris Bruno.
I'm Wes Phillip.
And we're done. We'll see you next time.
And just remember, folks, that when all your wishes have been granted, many of your dreams will have been destroyed. Good night, folks.
That's so positive. Thanks for that.
All right, everybody.
Find the Paranormal Pulse Podcast on Facebook under Paranormal Pulse Podcast. It's that simple.